Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight is Ian.
And it's Bonnie.
And you can join us online. Just head over to freetalklive.com. You can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners there. And you can do that for free. Also, coming up this end of spring, right at the very end of spring, last week of spring, the last one of the last weekends, June 15th through the 18th, you can join some of Free Talk Live, hopefully all of Free Talk Live, at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Obviously, we're still waiting on some sentencing from the federal courts before we'll know whether or not Aria and I get to attend, but we're intending to attend and hoping that you'll be there as well for ForkFest 2023. All you got to do to attend this decentralized libertarian camping event is reserve your camping site, your RV site, or your motel room, whatever your preference, with Rogers Campground for June 15th through the 18th. It's just before the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which is the biggest libertarian camping festival out there on the planet, and that happens the week after. That one starts on the 19th. So if you've got the full 10 or 11 days to stay up here, you really ought to. It's definitely worth the time. It's worth the money. If you want to hang around with freedom-loving people for more than a week, start the experience, though, with the decentralized alternative of ForkFest. You can go to ForkFest.party, learn more about the event there. That is ForkFest.party. Let's go to the phones here, and then we'll talk about these parents who are anxious about having sleepovers, having their kids having sleepovers. Sarah, though, is on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
Okay, so year 2022, last year, we killed, I think, 476 people in auto-related on our roads.
Why are you killing those people?
Sarah, I can't believe you.
Well, I'm not. I mean, our state as a whole, our state, that's all the people that got killed with auto-related. No, 467. I got it. Numbers reversed.
Okay.
That seems low, honestly.
I don't know.
Yeah, but that's just everybody crossing the street, speeding and wrecking, just everybody drinking. I don't know what the... Or drunk driving, but that's pretty high. That was higher than like 3 years ago.
Okay.
So that's why I'm an advocate.
So what you're saying, hold on, what you're saying is, Sarah, all of your advocacy has failed because people are getting into more traffic accidents. There are more traffic fatalities now than there were in previous years.
So I think it was actually less than last year, but 3 years ago it was a lot lower back then. Well, I'm just saying that my efforts are going to pay off because we will be putting speeding cameras on state highways, U.S. highways, and city highways. We just started to put the cameras back up.
The cameras are just going to catch people speeding after the fact. It's not like the cameras are going to stop anyone from hitting anyone.
But the thing is that it's a change of behavior. If you start getting a ticket, the next time you won't speed anymore. It's the preventative.
Do you think we should also have cameras in people's homes? I mean, because there's a lot of domestic abuse that goes on.
It's preventative.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's a personal space, but, I mean, on the freeway, everybody's clothed. They're not naked in their pajamas and their underwears. I mean, you could do that at home. I don't think it's appropriate.
Okay, so what you're saying is it's okay for abusers to be abusing people in their homes?
No, the speeding causes accidents on federal highways, and they speed even more there, and technically we're not allowed.
But how are we going to catch the abusers? I mean, don't you care about people being beaten by their partners?
Right, but it's a personal, I mean, it's a private place where people could be naked if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm against putting cameras in bathrooms and dressing rooms and hotel rooms.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you could be running around naked or underwear or something like that. You're entitled to do that. But as a public road,
Right. So just because someone can be naked means that Sarah thinks that they should not, that they should be able to be beaten by their husband or their wife.
Well, I mean, you know what? But the speeding, they should be allowed to put speeding cameras on the highways, I-25, I-40. We're not allowed to, but they speed at 90 to 100 miles per hour, and they, when they wreck, they got 10 car piles up. And I have no idea why we're not allowed to put cameras on the federal highways.
I just think that people should have the same expectation of privacy. The people have the same right to not be filmed inside their homes in their underwear, running around in their underwear, like Sarah said.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they should have the same right to not be investigated while just driving from their house to work every day.
Yep, that's a good point, Bonnie. And yeah, I just want to make it clear that I wasn't actually advocating for that. I was just trying to see if Sarah, you know, wanted to violate people's home privacy as much as she does when they're out and about. And she doesn't.
No,
so I'll give you credit for that, Sarah. You don't.
No, I don't. Because okay. Massage parlors, why would they be having a you're topless or whatever. They massage you, rub you down with oil. Why should anybody have a camera there? Even though one of the...
Have you ever thought about getting a job at a massage parlor? I hear they make good money.
Well, a lot of them are human trafficked sex slaves that they...
Are they, though?
...in Albuquerque. Yes, they were. They founded up a whole bunch of them. What happened to...
How do you know they weren't just there because they wanted to be?
Well, a lot of them were. And then a lot of them got robbed, and one of them got shot here. Because there was a guy that walked in for a massage, and he shot her and robbed her. And he...
Whoa.
They had the video of dragging her across the room on the hallway, but they finally caught the guy, and he got shot. And he died.
That's
but
crazy.
They finally caught the guy. But,
Sarah, thanks for calling and sharing the story tonight. So we continue here. Neil is in Arizona. Neil, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, all those people that are getting in wrecks in New Mexico, did they happen to be listening to Sarah on Free Talk Live at the time and just drive into a tree?
I don't know.
I can't do this anymore. Driving into the street.
Really. Hey, before the last break, you were talking about people on antidepressants.
Yes, sir.
And that they were having a sexual dysfunction and having problems reaching orgasm.
Yeah.
And then you said so something that made me pass a whole mouthful of beer through my nose.
Oh, God. Sorry.
And you're like, you call in and let us know why you got out or stayed in. And I'm thinking they probably stayed in. What you said was why you got off. You meant the drugs.
Yeah.
Stayed in. I'm thinking they probably stayed in because they hadn't got off yet. And I just
get your mind out of the gutter, Neil. That's funny, though. I get the joke.
What can I say? I'm a typical man.
But do you have any experience with antidepressants or anyone you know?
No, not
okay.
at all.
Okay.
Well, I guess they say alcohol. No, that's a depressant.
It is.
So,
yeah.
No, not really.
Okay. All right, man. Anything else you want to share, or is it just the dirty joke for tonight?
No, that about covers
all
it,
right.
guys.
Thanks for the call, Neil. I appreciate hearing from you.
No, you know, alcohol is something that people use basically to numb their feelings, too, and zone out.
Yeah.
Zonk out for the rest of the night so they don't have to think about how they feel.
Speaking of people with extreme feelings, Bonnie, you had a story tonight that you wanted to share with our listeners about sleepovers, meaning that parents... These days, apparently, and I'm guessing the parents would be millennials in this case, because millennials are getting old enough to be, you know, they're definitely old enough to be parents.
Yeah.
You are on the borderline between Gen Z.
I'm supposedly 1996, supposedly the last year of millennials, and I reject that.
Okay. Well, I think a lot of people would see that as borderline. I am also borderline between Gen X and millennial. No. And I prefer to be seen as Gen X over millennial. But, you know,
yeah, maybe
whatever.
That's both of us what it is. Because it's not that I don't want people to know I was born in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I'm too old or something. It's that I don't like how the millennials are described. And so many of them accept what they're described like. And I just don't accept that. I don't really feel like I completely fit in with Gen Z either. I think that,
yeah.
Like, 1996 to 1999 needs its own little mini thing.
I think they call it Xennials, don't they?
I, I could accept that.
I think that's what they say. But anyway, these parents these days apparently are anxious because we always hear about how young people are depressed and or anxious. And there's just so many young people that describe themselves as having anxiety and having depression. And so apparently now they're having anxiety about letting their kids simply go over to their friend's house for the night to have a sleepover.
Yep. This is from the Washington Post. The sleepovers have gotten very complicated. What a once simple rite of childhood reveals about the divisions among us. The boys had been hanging out all Saturday afternoon, and Cecily Thrasher was planning to pick up her 12-year-old son from his friend's house at 7 p.m. But as evening approached, the kids decided they wanted a sleepover. The friend's father texted Thrasher to say it was fine with him if her son wanted to spend the night.
Okay.
When the message appeared on her phone, she felt a surge of dread.
Okay, I'm sure she's going to explain why that is here, but it would seem to me like one of the benefits, and I presume one, without being a parent, right? Like, I'm not a parent. Bonnie, you're not a parent either. But without being a parent, it would seem like one of the clear benefits of the sleepover policy or the sleepover thing is parents are using one another as a reason to get out from having the kid for the night, right? So, like, you get to be with your husband or your wife alone in the house, and you don't have the kid demanding whatever the hell dessert or candy or television or whatever it is that they're demanding.
And he's a 12-year-old, so, I mean, it's not like he's just, like, running around making messes, most likely, but...
Yeah, maybe he'd just be playing video games or sitting on his phone or whatever, I don't know. But you still, they're out of your hair... You get them out of your hair for a night, and you don't have to worry about it. They're under the care of somebody who you obviously trust the parents enough to let them observe your kid during the daytime. They're over at the kid's friend's house already. So what is she so worried about when it comes to being there for, you know, another 12 hours during the night?
She says, I hate being a party pooper. I want my son to have deep, meaningful friendships. She said, but I also knew that I would be setting a precedent if I allowed it to happen. I wasn't ready.
So she's never done this before.
I wasn't ready for that decision on such short notice. So wow. It's all about her.
Wow. Her son's 12 years old.
Right.
And she's never allowed him to have a sleepover or be on a sleepover.
And the thing is, like, growing up, I knew lots of people who their parents absolutely, it was out of the question, they just didn't allow sleepovers until
really?
A certain age. I knew lots of kids like that. Like, you would just know, like, oh, she can't spend the night. Because her parents don't allow sleepovers.
Wow, I have no memory of that.
But
of anything like that.
I could see why some parents would be like, nope, you gotta spend the night with us. You gotta be ready for school the next day. You gotta blah, blah, blah. But I just feel like my parents would always be like, because we ask for sleepovers like constantly. Either, hey, can they spend the night here or can I go there? And it would be like, most of the time we could. If it was like a school night, probably couldn't.
Yeah,
at all.
I don't think we would even ask on a school night.
And then,
even an option.
And sometimes they would just be like, you've been gone all weekend. Why don't you stay home with us, watch a movie with us or something, you know, something like that. But it wouldn't be the things that this woman is worried about. So let's continue. She immediately started Googling, are sleepovers good or bad for kids? And child development plus sleepovers and... risks and benefits of sleepovers.
All right, I want to hear what she learned in a moment here, but I also want to go to the calls here. We got somebody on the line here. What is your name, caller? You're on Free Talk Live.
Dennis.
Dennis, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I haven't listened to you guys in quite a minute, but I were with you guys back in like 2006 when you made the move to New Hampshire.
Oh, wow.
Everything seems so great and everything. I have like a two-part question. Number one, is, like I said, I've been out of the loop for a minute. Do you still talk to Mark Edge? Is Mark Edge still part of the show? Or
yeah, he may be on tomorrow night. Mark has been doing a lot of traveling in the last several years, probably more like 7 years. At this time, he's been trying to find a place for him and for other freedom-minded people to migrate to that's outside of the United States. And he's got some property in an Honduran island that he's been trying to renovate to make that possible for some people. So he's really been on this sort of different journey recently, and so he hasn't been on the air a whole lot, but he's trying to come on at least a once-a-week basis.
Wow, that's so cool. And the second part is, like I said, I was with you guys from 2006 onward. Do you think the Free State Project was a success, or do you think it's been a failure?
Oh, tremendous success. I mean, there's thousands of freedom-oriented people who have moved here, and there are more moving in every single month across New Hampshire. There's no other community of freedom-loving, liberty people like this one. It just, there's nothing else like this anywhere on the planet. We're seeing tremendous political successes where Free Staters are being elected to state rep seats. We've probably got as many as 50 of the 400 seats now in the New Hampshire State House are now held by actual Free Staters, and there's probably another 50-plus seats that are people that are real friendly to us, so they would rank pretty highly with the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance that gives individual ratings to each of the state reps every single year based on their voting record.
I think just the amount of people that have lived, you know, their lives more free because of the Free State Project and, you know, their communities, I'd have to say it's a success. Like, people move away from California, come to New Hampshire, and they have friends, none of which judge them for how they think, and they get to, you know, wear a gun to the state house, or, you know, wear a gun wherever they want, mm-hmm. things like that, because we have constitutional carry here now.
So there's an instant increase in freedom for a lot of the people that just move here based on the comparison between the states. So, yeah, I mean, there's a reason why New Hampshire was chosen, because it is a more free place, but I think the Free Staters here have helped make it freer over time. And the libertarians here are such a political force, not the Libertarian Party, but the libertarians, those who are willing to run as Republicans and or Democrats and sort of infiltrate the major two parties. They've had tremendous successes, especially taking sort of quote-unquote taking over, if you will, or infiltrating the Republican Party. It's been amazing. We have an actual Free Stater who is the House Majority Leader, and he has been for the last couple of years. Free Staters are heading up the House committees in a lot of cases that are hearing various different bills and legislation. And again, the community. So you've got the political success stories, and then you've got the community where there's market days that happen every single month in various different areas of the state where people come together and they offer whatever product or service that they have, whether it be, you know, homemade tea or beef. Chicken, you know, that is being made on local farms, to somebody who knows how to give massages or whatever, and they're, you know, they're accepting alternative currencies like gold backs and cryptocurrency for their products and services. I mean, there's just nothing like it anywhere else. It's absolutely been a success, but we still need thousands more people to move here.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. It was really good talking to you. I was really dismayed to hear about what happened to you and your fellow Crypto Six. Boy, it really shows the state of which they are is a bunch of thugs. I do plan on writing to the judge and letting them know how you've changed my life. You've changed my life in the last 15 years. I would say for the better. And I think you have a lot to give. And I wish you nothing but the best, Ian. And I'll have my fingers crossed for you, man, come April.
Thank you, Dennis. It's very kind. I appreciate you reaching out here tonight, and don't forget all the details regarding the judge letters you can find over at letters.freetalklive.com. Thank you for the call tonight. So, Bonnie, you were telling us about this woman, Ms. Thrasher, who is really upset or frustrated, anxious, I guess was the word that she used, regarding her son, who's 12 years old, wants to spend the night with the very same friends that he's spending the day with. So why is that a problem? She started Googling, she says, as she needed to do research to see, what does the Internet think? Does the Internet think sleepovers are good or are sleepovers bad? Well,
yeah.
I bet you the Internet thinks both things.
Yeah, right. It says she listened to child psychologists on TikTok, scrolled through blog posts, and searched newspaper articles.
About overthinking this thing.
She politely declined the sleepover invitation.
Oh my
and
God.
Kept scouring the Internet. Mostly, she says, I was just trying to find a way to feel good about my decision.
Oh, okay. So she had already made the decision.
Sounds
and
like
then
it.
She wanted to get reinforced by other people on the Internet who also don't believe in sleepovers. Meanwhile, her 12-year-old son is probably embarrassed as hell that his mom is so lame, and she won't even let him hang out with his friends overnight.
Yep. It says, a sense of clarity proved elusive, but she did find that she has plenty of company in feeling unsure about sleepovers. Among parents who are skeptical of this particular rite of childhood, one question, can I spend the night, unleashes a slew of others. How well do we know the other parents? Are there guns in the house? What about alcohol or drugs? What is the risk of COVID exposure? Are there older siblings around? Will the kids be watching YouTube or TikTok all night?
What do they do during the daytime? I mean, kids are constantly on their phones.
And another solution to this that is better than going on the internet is, like, going to meet the parents. If they're just going to be sitting there hanging out with your kids all day, they probably wouldn't mind you coming over and talking for, like, an hour.
How is it that... Okay, so, like, again, not that I know a whole lot about parenting. I don't, but I was a kid at one time. My parents met the parents. My parents met my friend's parents. They wouldn't... I don't think they would want me to go hang out at somebody's house without knowing who the parents were. So,
right.
Like, does she not know who this father is who had said he was fine with the kids spending the night? Does she have no idea where her son is spending his afternoon? And, again, if she's concerned about what they're going to watch or what they're going to get into, like... Can they not get to the family's guns during the middle of the day as well? Why is being there at nighttime so much more dangerous than during the day?
I don't know. She has more questions. She says, is it a girls-only or boys-only gathering? And what about kids who don't adhere to binary concepts of gender or sexuality? I never even considered that. Like, those kids get... The same, get to hang out with their parents as much. Are there really that many kids like that at all?
These days, yeah, apparently there's way more people in Gen Z, and 12 is probably Generation A or whatever they're calling the next one. There's like the whatever's after Gen Z, Generation Alpha, I think is what they're calling it. But the Gen Z kids are like 1 out of 4 or 1 out of 6, somewhere in that range, are identifying as some variant of LGBTQ. So it is definitely more common. But again, wouldn't that be for the host parent to be deciding on? Like, if Johnny's friend Susie was born a boy, then do you want Susie to come over to the house? That's up to the dad to determine in that case.
That does make it a little more complicated. I don't know. Because it's not like I was spending the night with other boys my age as a kid.
And neither was I. I certainly was not at girls' sleepovers. I had no experience with those back then. But, you know, again, if you're hanging out with somebody and you're spending time with that person during the daytime and it's okay, then what's the problem with it being overnight? I just don't understand it.
Says, there are families for whom slumber parties are out of the question. In certain cultures, allowing your child to stay overnight with someone outside the family is not an accepted practice. Many Gen Z TikTok users have memed the awkward experience of turning down sleepover invitations because of wary parents.
So the kids have memed their parents?
Just talking about
down?
Like, oh, I'm a grown-up now, but I remember when I was a kid, I couldn't go to any sleepovers because of my parents' culture or whatever.
Did you have to grow up like this? Are you a parent who's anxious about this? Give us a call. Tell us.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Authorities in Southern California say they found multiple weapons and ammo at the home of the suspect accused of carrying out last weekend's mass shooting. Los Angeles County Sheriff Robert Luna said the search of the suspect's home indicated
items that lead us to believe the suspect was manufacturing homemade firearm suppressors. An unknown amount of .308 caliber and 9mm caliber ammunition.
72-year-old Ben also had a limited criminal history and was arrested for unlawful possession of a firearm decades ago. President Biden will continue, quote, delivering for the American people, despite scrutiny over his handling of classified documents from his time as vice president and senator. That's according to White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. More classified materials were found at Biden's Wilmington, Delaware home during a search Friday. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Bonnie.
You can join us online if you appreciate the work that we're doing here at Free Talk Live. You appreciate the message of liberty and peace and freedom that we talk about 7 nights a week on broadcast radio and beyond on the internet. Then you can join our AMP program, or rather AMPS, which stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. And you can do that over at amps.freetalklive.com. We don't have any paying advertisers at this point on Free Talk Live. And you know what? I'm fine if it stays that way. I would not be bothered if we never had another paying advertiser again on this show. I would love it if we could make all of the bills, you know, get them all paid through direct listener support. That's always been, like, an ideal for me. And we're in a position now where that's more possible than it's ever been.
And it seems like lots of listeners are deciding that that is worth it to them.
Yep, we've seen a lot of former amplifiers step up and come back. So thank you to everybody that's come back.
We're two people that don't use the internet mailed checks to me.
That's true.
So nice.
Yeah, thank you for that.
I really appreciate it.
If you want to, you can call in you know, during any break. And we can tell you about what the mailing address is as well if you want to help us there. So thank you for that. We definitely appreciate the support. And you get some perks. You get some benefits that you can connect with other Free Talk Live supporters as well and some of the hosts. And there's a variety of different things you can learn about over at amps.freetalklive.com. So, Bonnie, you were sharing with us this story from, I think, the Washington Post about a parent, or more than one, presumably, that's anxious, so-called, about their kids going over to their friend's house overnight.
and sleepovers, which we all grew up with. It was just sort of the term in this article is a rite of passage. I don't know if it's a rite of passage. I mean, obviously kids grow up without them in some cases,
like,
but
wouldn't a rite of passage mean you get to start doing that because you're finally old enough? I don't know. I feel like I was having sleepovers pretty young.
Yeah, I don't think you need a sleepover to, you know, like, be a well-adjusted person necessarily.
But I do feel like, you know,
but it helps.
The kids that you had that kind of a relationship with became like your best friends. Like, you can have friends at school,
right,
but you're not going to be as good friends with them as the ones that actually, like, your parents know each other and you're allowed to hang out outside of school. And
that's a fact. It's definitely a more
spend
of
all
a
night talking
bonding experience for,
I mean,
those people.
Some of my favorite, like, memories in my life are just staying up talking about, like, silly things with my friends my age. Like, some of those people are still my friends to this day.
I think it's sad. I mean, it really is a statement here. The fact that these parents aren't allowing their kids to go over and have a sleepover.
Just worrying about something bad happening when most likely all they're going to do is be like, do you believe in ghosts? Yeah, my cousin said he saw a ghost. And that's what they're going to be up doing, you know?
Or whatever, playing video games or but the fact that they're together, I think, is what should be encouraged here. It's like the kids these days are so disconnected from society. They're disconnected from each other. I mean, we've seen the studies that show that teenagers these days are not going out and hanging out in person anymore like they used to, like they did in the 80s or the 90s or maybe even the aughts. They're not. They're staying home. They're staying on their devices, and they're staying separated.
And it's so weird coming from the general public when all of those type of people always say, oh, I couldn't homeschool because I want my kids to be socialized.
But then they won't let them go over to their friend's house.
Yeah.
All right, so what else is in the story that you wanted to share?
It says millions of parents post under the viral hashtag, #NoSleepovers. They flock to parenting influencers and psychiatrists.
God.
On TikTok, who expound on various sleepover risks.
Like what? Like having fun?
They haven't gotten into it yet. So
getting to do something you don't get to do at home? Is that what it is? Because it's true, right? Like, that is a true aspect of, like, a sleepover. Is, like, if your parents are Nazis about no sweet sugary cereals, you might get a sugary cereal, you know, while you're over at your friend's house, or maybe you'll see a nudie magazine, or right, like something's going to happen at somebody's friend's house that they're not going to be able to do at home. And you know what? It's not the end of the world if they get to do that stuff.
It says, and there are parents who are still on the fence, sharing their uncertainty in online groups, wanting to know how different families approached the issue. Some compromise by picking up their children from a slumber party at 10 p.m. or midnight, often called a half-over, sleep-under, or late-over. Others allow sleepovers only with a small circle of close, trusted friends. For Thrasher, 45, who lives with her husband and their three sons in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, okay.
The first thing that came to mind was that she didn't know the hosting family well. She also feels protective of her multiracial boys, who are often the only kids of color in their group of friends. I wonder why that would be in Portland, Oregon.
And again, I mean, aren't you protecting them from the experience of them being able to be known and appreciated by their peers? Like, aren't you protecting them from having experience with being with other human beings for an extended period of time? I mean, she's protecting these kids to death.
Right. Says for Heather, a mom of two teens in Massachusetts, who asked that her full name not be used to protect her family's privacy, the pervasiveness of alcohol gives her pause. I mean, like, it's just like, if kids are going to steal alcohol and drink it, they could basically do that anywhere.
Sure.
I don't see why, like,
you do it in the middle of the day.
Unless you are afraid that the parents are going to give your kid alcohol. In that case, you just need to get to know your kid's
friends' parents
better before you let them sleep over. Which, like we already discussed, I remember my parents, who were not Nazis about sleepovers, always being like, we need to know the parents, you know, before.
Absolutely. And, you know, go to their house. Take a look around. See if there's a huge-ass liquor cabinet sitting there. And then talk to the parents about any concerns that you might have about that. I will say this, like, that never happened. in the entire time I had sleepovers and or went to sleepovers, well, first of all, my parents didn't have alcohol in the house. They weren't drinkers at all. I mean, my mom might have like a sip of wine twice a year or something like that. So there was basically no alcohol in my parents' house. But I do not know whether there was alcohol in my friends' parents' houses. We never got into that. That was never something. I mean, I don't think I was doing sleepovers when I was a teenager by that point. I'm pretty sure I had grown out of it by that point. I don't remember when the cutoff date was, but at some point that just wasn't something that I did anymore. And by the time I was interested in alcohol, which would have been 16, 17, you know, 18, I'm pretty sure I was beyond my sleepover phase. But maybe the argument would be that, well, now kids know more about alcohol and they're more interested in alcohol than, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if there's any truth to that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But look, I mean, are you raising your kids right? Because if you're raising your kids to where they are prohibited from alcohol, then guess what they're going to do? They're going to be interested in it. They're going to be interested in trying the thing they're not allowed to try.
Hmm. Here's what she says. She says, I could see what other parents were posting on social media themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me wary. Photos of hard liquor, glamorizing a culture of drinking.
Okay.
So.
But yeah, maybe you don't want your kid going over there.
Yeah.
I get that.
But does a parent drinking alcohol, you know, sometimes necessarily mean your kid's going to get it from them? I don't know.
Well, I mean, not necessarily, but it certainly does suggest a certain acceptance of that over at that particular household. That would
she did say she has teenagers.
She says like she has teenagers?
A mother of two teens.
Yeah. And it does suggest that alcohol is acceptable at that household. Whether or not they allow their children to have it, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's not like the most ridiculous decision. Out
to
of all
keep
of
your kids away from
reasons, it's not the most ridiculous one. But
wait, just to clarify, are we talking about Ms. Thrasher in this case?
No, it's Heather from Massachusetts now,
okay.
Mom of two teens in Massachusetts.
Right, okay.
Well, the only thing I have to say about that is, like, when I was a kid, our friends up the street, one of my best friends, her parents always had lots of alcohol. They were German.
Mm-hmm.
And they just had a lot of alcohol. And the one time that she got into it, I wasn't with her. Like, she was by herself. She posted a picture of herself with a liquor on like her MySpace, thinking her parents wouldn't see it. They made her post a picture of herself with a piece of paper that wrote, that was my parents' alcohol. I'm a loser for doing that.
Ooh,
or, you know,
damn.
I'm like being such a poser for posting that picture. I didn't drink any of the alcohol, and now I'm grounded for a month or
Wait,
whatever.
Did she really not drink it? She just posted the photo?
I think that she just posted the photo. Who knows if she drank it? But I just remember, like, dang, that they were real serious about that. They,
wow.
Just because they had alcohol didn't mean they were just, like, lax about their kids drinking alcohol or whatever. You know.
All right, I take it back. I do recall actually staying the night at somebody's house when I was an older teenager, and I did get really wasted on some alcohol on my 17th birthday in that case, and the cops got called. And
oh yeah, I was wondering about that story.
Called.
I was like, was that at a sleepover? Or
yeah,
how did you end up out?
It was technically a sleepover, although we obviously
was
weren't sleeping. We
the
were
kid's
up quite late.
Parents' alcohol.
Yeah,
dang.
It was definitely his parents' alcohol, but they weren't there. They were gone for the weekend or whatever, so it was one of those situations.
Stealing.
Well, I mean, I didn't steal the alcohol, but I certainly drank the alcohol I was given, and that's more of a problem with parenting, I think, than anything else. I mean, if you're prohibited from drinking by parents, then that's going to lead to kids wanting to know what drinking's like. And then they're only going to learn how to drink from their friends who don't know how to drink. I never knew about responsible
pacing, yeah.
Right? Like responsible drinking. Did not learn that until I was well into my 20s, until I finally had some positive influences in my life in that way. Had my parents actually taught me how to drink, had my parents actually, you know, set me down with some beers or a wine or some wine or whatever and actually had me do that with them at their house. And again, they weren't drinkers, but they could have, I'm sure, for that reason if they'd wanted to. I think that was a mistake on their part. And I don't have a lot to criticize my parents about. I think they did a pretty good job generally. I mean, they didn't abuse me or anything like that, but I think keeping kids away from things like that, that they're going to encounter. I mean, I'm not saying you should smoke crack with your with your kids or whatever, but, you know, alcohol is a fairly pervasive thing in American culture. There's a very good chance your kids are going to come across it at some point. So do you want them to have a healthier attitude towards it, or do you think the total prohibitionist view is going to work?
It does seem that in America, it's like any time somebody turns 21 and they start drinking alcohol, not everyone that I know, but it seems like most people I know have at least a little phase of, like, getting blackout drunk every time they drink. Because it's like,
Wait. You actually know people who didn't drink before 21?
Well, I wouldn't say didn't drink before 21 at all. I just mean, you know, now they're allowed to buy it and they're out of the house. I'm just...
Most of the people I know is actually a different story, Bonnie. They've drunk so much prior to 21 that when they turn 21, they're actually done with it.
I think that, like, I seriously think that more people are not interested in alcohol as weed anymore.
Mm.
Like, when I was in high school, I didn't want to tell this story because I don't know if my parents are listening, but I drank alcohol once at a friend's house. Yes, mm-hmm. It was stolen from her dad's, and it was beer,
mm-hmm.
and we each just drank, like, a beer, and we had never drank before.
And this was how old were you?
It was 2011, so I was 14.
Okay.
And we were just like, this sucks. Like, why do people like this instead of weed? And that was my attitude until, like, I was, like, 19. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to drink again. I was like, why would I want to do this instead of, like, smoke weed?
Smoking and then what happened
better.
At 19?
I had a friend that was older, and she just would let me have, like, a little bit of wine at her house sometimes. And I ended up liking alcohol more. I'd get people to buy alcohol for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked, like, alcohol and weed at that point. And then it's just, like, the older you get, the more alcohol makes you feel horrible, even if you don't get crazy drunk. So now I just don't want to drink it at all because it just makes me feel horrible because I guess I'm old.
You're definitely not old, but you have come to the conclusion that it does not benefit you.
Yeah, and the other thing is just the more you know about health, the less you want to dehydrate your body for no reason.
Yeah, and
especially
it does
when
that.
like stuff like kratom is just better to me. Like, I don't want to be out of control of my body. I don't like that idea, like being out of control of my body for an extended period of time. Like, I don't want to do that. It's creepy, and you wake up feeling awful and embarrassed, like, oh, what did I say? I don't want to feel like that ever again. It's awful.
So this whole no sleepovers thing, hashtag no sleepovers, and it is a thing. I did search for it here. This sounds to me like helicopter parents. This sounds to me like the hovering parents always worried about what their kids are doing. They don't want to give them any kind of freedom. This is the antithesis of the free-range kids viewpoint, which I'm a big fan of. I like the idea of free-range kids. What else?
Ariel Sullivan, this is a third mom,
mm-hmm.
a 37-year-old mother of two in New Jersey, says she doesn't want her kids on screens all night. I get very upset when I pick up my kids from a play date and hear, oh, we watch TV the whole time, she says.
Mm-hmm.
I want my kids to be outdoors. I want them to be playing
at night
and learning how to socialize. I don't think that she was specifically saying at night. I think she was saying she's afraid that if she's not watching them, they're going to be on screens all night. You know, it's not the worst excuse either.
Yeah, I get that. And if that is truly what is happening at a sleepover these days, if that's what kids are doing, is sitting in the same room together on their phones, then it's like, what's the point? Like, you're not doing something together. Just because you are physically together and you're on your own devices looking at your own thing, you're not doing something.
But the other thing is, like, have a conversation. Like, be brave enough to have a conversation with the parents. Be like, Jimmy can't spend the night if they're going to be on phones. Sorry, that's just a...
That's my rule.
That's my rule.
Yeah.
And if they're like, oh, I'm sorry, then he can't spend the night with us. You know, it's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're going to find parents that would say, you know, like, you know, we agree with that. We're going to start enforcing the same thing. You know, just be brave enough to have conversations with other parents. Because, like, we know a parent who is absolutely no screens until they're old enough to be dropped off at the mall by himself, is what he says. So I could see, you know, because of the things that he's told me about how bad screens are for developing brains, like, it's basically like giving your kids crack cocaine, I can understand that being a reason. If it's health reasons, like, other than COVID-19, because your kids are not going to die from COVID-19.
Well, by the same token, the individual you're talking about, I don't think he would be embarrassed to say who it is. It's Jay Noon, and we're hopefully going to have him back as a co-host soon for listeners that remember Jay. He's got kids now. He's got two of them, and they're young. 1 and 3, I think, are their ages. But Jay is doing a great job, it seems like, raising these kids. And so, like, he's not going to be the kind of kid, he's not going to be the kind of parent, I don't think, that would refuse a sleepover. So while on one hand, he is definitely rightfully concerned about screen time, on the other hand, I don't think he has that same concern about, like, actually, because he wants people to be together. He wants, you know, his kids to actually have physical friends. That's the whole point of not being on the screen, is to actually interact with other humans.
I would be really interested to ask him specifically, like, when your kids are old enough, because right now they're really young, are you going to let them go to sleepovers at, like, maybe 8 years old? I don't know. Is that too young?
I feel like I was at 6 or 7 or something like that. Maybe I'm remembering a little younger than it was, but I'm pretty sure I was, like, 7.
I was definitely having sleepovers at, like, 6 or 7. Yeah. It's easy for me to remember where I was or how old I was because I know how old I was when I lived in each place.
Mm-hmm.
And I was definitely having sleepovers even when I lived in Kansas, which I moved away from there when I was 5. So, yeah. And I remember one time, this is just kind of interesting to the story. One time, I was having a sleepover for my friend's birthday at her house, and I lived in Kansas, so I was between the ages of, like, 3 and 5, and the mom was letting us play with makeup, and I remember being like, my mom won't let me, I don't know, I don't remember this, it's so weird, because whenever I think of this memory, I'm like, it's so weird, because I don't remember my mom ever saying, like, you can't wear makeup. But I think that maybe I had gotten into her makeup, and I knew I wasn't allowed to play with her makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So at the sleepover, I was like, I'm not allowed to play with makeup. And all the other kids did, and I didn't.
Oh, and you didn't. Wow.
Yeah.
You
and
followed
she was
the
just
rules.
Like, yeah, I followed the rule. I self-followed the rules.
Oh, you're such a good daughter, Bonnie. Let's go to the phones here. We got David on the line in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, David.
I'm Bonnie.
And Bonnie's Life, you sound like it was a Steely Dan song. The Cuervo Gold, the fine Colombian.
What? The queer what?
Cuervo Gold. It's
not
alcohol.
Beer.
Oh.
That was Freudian. The Cuervo Gold. Steely Dan, good song.
All right, David.
About 20 years before you were born. Now, I still do sleepovers as often as possible. They're fun.
Okay. What does that mean as as an adult?
You don't know? Well, that's right. You're married. Never mind. Next topic.
All right. Moving on.
Moving on, what I called about, you said a bunch of things while you're on hold, but what I called about was at the, what do you call it again, the placebo effect.
Yeah.
Doesn't work on everybody. Because it doesn't work on me.
What do you mean? Because you don't believe in medical technology or what?
No, because I can't explain the workings of your personality, your character, your brain, whatever. But if somebody gives me, somebody meaning a doctor, gives me something, it doesn't work until it works. When you give it, just because you give it to me and you tell me it's going to work, doesn't mean it's going to work. In fact, most of the time when a doctor gives you something, it doesn't work. You know, unless it's the only thing that works, the things that work really reliably are painkillers and antibiotics. And the rest of the stuff is like, it works when it works. And until it works, it ain't working.
Well, it may have something to do with your, maybe you're skeptical towards doctors in general. I think a lot of people believe in doctors. And so therefore, when the doctor says, take this, it'll help cure your blah, 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 whatever the problem is, they believe it.
Or the other way, like when a doctor says, you have blah, blah, blah disease, you're just going to believe it.
You're going to die soon. And then they die soon because they bought the story.
But I could totally see that, David, that maybe it just doesn't work on some people as much who, you know, think harder.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, well, I worked in a hospital for a couple of years, and so I don't believe doctors. Doctors, I trust doctors as much as I trust some dude selling whatever down on the street corner.
Then that explains it.
And also, you know, Nikki says the same thing. She's a nurse, and she says the same thing, that she has way less faith in doctors.
Well, she knows they're human.
Has met a lot of them.
Yeah, she knows that they're fallible.
Yeah.
Right, right. And she works with them, so she knows how often they screw things up.
Yeah, exactly. And so my advice to people is you can't really do, when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, you can't do your own medical work. But you had better be advised to do as much research on whatever you think you got or whatever you may have or whatever they tell you you have. You had better spend a whole bunch of hours researching it yourself because your doctor ain't gonna.
That's a great point.
Is way too busy. Yeah, they're way too busy. They know whatever it is they know already, that's what they're going to base treating you on. They're not going to spend a bunch of extra hours to research what Bonnie or Ian have going on. They're going to rely on what they've already learned, and they may not know near as much as somebody with some intelligence that spend a couple hours or a couple dozen hours researching the latest knowledge on the subject. So.
Yeah, I've heard that doctors are usually like 30 years behind like the current science.
But in some cases, I'll give more credit than that. But yeah, in some cases, if they graduated from, if they graduated from medical school, did their internship 30 years ago, that's primal in how they're going to behave in the future. And they'll update themselves as often as they have time for, but they just don't have any time. You know, they're so busy. I mean, if you got to work 60 hours a week, 40 minimum, 60 likely, 80 possible, after you're an established doctor, you just don't have time to do a whole lot of things other than what the law forces you to do in the form of the continuing education.
Yeah, that's a great point, David.
And that's only a couple hours here and there.
Yep. Thank you for the call tonight. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. Any other takeaways from this story, Bonnie, that you wanted to share that you have? Because it's really interesting.
Well, this says guns are a top concern for Casey Calavier, 56, who has a 10-year-old son. Before his family moved to the Pacific Northwest last year, many of their neighbors in their Texas community kept firearms at home. Sleepover invitations also meant explaining that he and his husband were gay parents. People didn't always know. They just knew our kids were friends in school.
Mm-hmm.
So it meant coming out again. I wonder where in Texas, because it's like my ex-best friend I referenced earlier, we went to high school together, and his parents were just okay with him being gay from the moment he was like 3 years old and started acting gay. Like, and they're from Texas. They're from there. It really depends on where in Texas.
Interesting story. I wish we had more time to talk about it, but go ahead and send that over to me, Bonnie, so we can make sure it gets up on our social media so people can dig into this on their own. And, of course, if you wanted to call on this but you didn't get time tonight, just call us tomorrow. We'll be happy to talk to you at that time about whatever's on your mind. In the meantime, you can join us at social.freetalklive.com. We'll see you tomorrow night.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.